Hey, Brad Graber is back from his world travels. He shares financial information with us. Brad, great to have you back.
Hey, it's great to be back.
And, you know, you've got some good information. By the way, you want to briefly tell us what you did? Where were you?
I can't tell you too much, but I was in Europe.
Oh, you're in Europe? Okay.
Yep, I traveled to a couple different places there, visiting lots of missionaries on the front line. So
super.
It was exciting and good to renew myself as well.
All right. Hey, great to have you back. And I know those experiences are definitely just enriching in our souls. You've got six principles for defining your lifestyle. And you know what? We want to be defined in the correct way, the godly way. I see the first one is we don't own our own resources. Always a good reminder, right, Brad?
That's exactly right. And just to clarify here, as we're talking about lifestyle, what we mean by that is basically the decisions that we're accustomed to in our life. That basically, if we look at a full picture of our life, what is defining us in the way that we spend our money? And that first one is so key because we have to start with the right view of money. And if we don't start with that proper fundamental that everything is God's and not ours, then we're going to make a lot of mistakes as we go through making those individual spending decisions. So once we understand that everything is God's, including us really, we're simply managing God's money. And we're trying to make decisions on how to best invest his resources for his glory, not for ours.
Well, what about this? Some choices, you say, have bigger impacts than others when it comes to our money and how we're living our lives. Talk about that.
Absolutely. So some decisions we're going to make are simply a one-time decision. So we go out to eat. And when we go out to eat, we pay the check for whatever the bill was, and there's really not any ongoing costs that go along with that decision. But when we buy a car, we buy a house, there's typically a trail of other expenses that are going to come along with that. So with a car, you have ongoing maintenance, license plates. Are you spending more gas because you bought one with poor gas mileage? And the same for a house. You buy a house, it's going to have insurance, maintenance, the furnishings we're going to have to buy for the house. It also controls how far we're commuting to work. So there's expenses that go along with that. Where our kids go to school, what social circles we're even running in. So there's a whole trail of decisions that are made, of future spending decisions that are made because of that one individual decision of where we bought a house.
Love the third one here, balance your resources. I think we really prefer when things are balanced, don't we, Brad?
Life is normally a lot better when they are. And the resources that I mentioned here are specifically money, time, and our relationships. So these are three things that we really need to have harmony with. And so as we look especially at money and time, those two things are very interchangeable. So if we find ourselves with not as much money as we may need, but we have time, we can use our time to go get another job and earn some extra money. If we don't have enough time, but we have more money maybe than we need to support our lifestyle, we can hire somebody to take some of the work off of our hands so that we free up some time. And then ultimately, relationships. So these are the key things in our life where we need to make sure we're investing in the relationships around us so that we have community, so that we're investing in our family and our wives and our kids. And again, money and time are resources that we can give up in order to invest in those relationships. So we can take our spouse on a date. Maybe we can spend time with our kids instead of working. And if we're out of balance, so let's say we're chasing money too much. Well, we may be using all of our time to try to earn money, and we're neglecting our family. Or if we're too stingy, then we're hoarding our money and not using our money to invest in our family and our relationships as well.
Hey, we're talking with Brad Graber. He's a financial planner, and you can learn more about the things that we talk about on a weekly basis by going to his website, investingintruth.com, and that includes this morning's topic. And Brad, you talk about flexibility too. What does that have to do with anything?
Well, flexibility is huge, and as we look at why are we trying to get our financial house in order to start with? Well, ultimately we're trying to do it not so that we can be out of debt and just be able to accumulate more money. That's not our goal. Our goal is to be better servants for God. And one of those things is we want to make sure that we're God's servant, not a servant to somebody else. And that's one of the big problems of debt. Debt enslaves us and forces us to have to go use our time and our time to earn money and our money to pay somebody else. And ultimately, that's not what we're wanting to do. That's not us being flexible for God. Our goal is ultimately that when God calls us to do something, that we're able to answer the call and say, yes, yes, Lord, here I am, send me. And when we're a slave to something other than God, then we're not really able to answer that call. So what we're trying to do is get our financial lives in order so that we have flexibility, so that we're not dependent on every penny that's coming in to be able to pay somebody that's knocking on our door, but that we have that flexibility to be able to say, yes, Lord, here I am, I'm ready to go.
You know, we don't like to fall because falling can hurt. And regardless of which side of the horse you fall off of, it kind of stings, doesn't it, when that happens, Brad?
Yeah, it kind of takes us back to that whole idea of balance. Well, there's balance in how we're spending our money as well. And a lot of us, we think we're right, and we may actually be on, not in the middle, but we're to one extreme or the other, and maybe even judging the other side. So you've got two errors that can be made. Number one, we can be spending too much money. We can have a lifestyle that's defined by spending everything we make and sometimes even more than that. And some of the typical problems that come along with that are just this taste for luxury that we may not be willing to give up. So what if God calls you to the mission field and you're not willing to give up the lifestyle you've created? It may cause us to look down on individuals who have less, so we're actually affecting how we view other people. Or it may cause our children to develop materialistic expectations that may even affect their future relationships, including who they choose as a spouse. But on the other side of it, we've got the people that, you know, may be holding onto their money and managing it very, very tightly. Well, there can be problems that come along with that, too. I already mentioned that balance of relationships and money. And are we neglecting relationships because it costs too much to develop them? So maybe we're not investing in people or our families because we don't want to spend the money. Or we may be judging others who are living a lifestyle and spending more money than we are, and we think that they're being over the top in their spending. And then the last is, again, our children. Are we potentially nurturing a stinginess in our children because they see us valuing money more than people? So we never want to have our kids to have that expectation either.
Well, number six on your list, Brad, of the six principles for defining your lifestyle is to be mindful of others, and you paraphrase 1 Corinthians 6:12 in that. So tell us about being mindful of others and how we define our financial lifestyle.
Yeah, 1 Corinthians 6:12 says, while everything is permissible, not everything is helpful. And I think that's just a good guiding principle for so many things in our Christian walk. But we need to remember that we're in Christian community here, and we obviously need to be careful of how our decisions are affecting others. And we never want to put a stumbling block in front of other people that are pursuing Christ. So we need to step back and say, you know, even though I'm able to afford these things, is it possibly a stumbling block in the way that people are seeing my lifestyle? They don't know all the details. They don't know my heart. And we need to just be careful of the picture that we're painting. But it's also a two-way street. We need to be careful, too, that we're not on the other side of that, judging and possibly criticizing and even just trying to create our own motives that we perceive in other people's hearts by the spending decisions that they're making. Because, again, we don't know their heart just like they don't know our heart, and we need to be careful, again, that we're not creating division within the unity of the body of Christ.
So it is kind of a constant struggle at times, but, basically we want to make sure our financial life is biblically based, because that kind of keeps us out of trouble in the end, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Our spending decisions are ultimately spiritual decisions, and we need to just make sure that we're, number one, being conscious of it. So many times we're just going through life making individual spending decisions and we never look at the big picture. We need to understand, what is the bigger picture? What's the bigger goal here? Are we serving Christ? Are we honoring God? Or are we just making mindless decisions that we're not thinking through? Or are we trying to glorify ourselves with our money and not glorifying God?
I love this today, Brad, because there have been times I've literally opened up my checkbook and looked back over past expenses, wondering, okay, where did the money go? What did I do with this? And realized, you know, a lot of what was in there was not God-honoring. It was Kelly-centered, and I made a mess out of things and didn't really think of other people when it came to having a financial plan, which, if you've wanted to call it that. And it's painful to look back over and realize, oh, my goodness, God gave me this, and I just squandered it horribly.
Yeah, it's just, to me, finances are just an easy example of the rest of how our spiritual life is walked as well. And it just gives us numbers and allows us to add it up in a mathematical way to see sometimes the foolishness of our decisions.